welcome to Grid Talk, your weekly RC racing podcast with your host, myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bowden. How are you doing, Chris?
Well, mate, I've got to say, it's been a brilliant week. We'll discuss why later, but now I'd like to, instead of discussing my fantastic results, I'd like you to discuss our fantastic sponsors.
Smooth, mate, smooth. So let me thank CMR Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed, the company that keep us in every week and throw us some prizes at Christmas. So straight in this week, Chris, Factory Matt Thompson. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Good evening, guys. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Yourselves?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
Can we just say thank you for joining us and thank you for not dying this year?
Last year. quite eventful last year, as most people know now. I got quite ill, missed quite a bit of racing in summer, only did my 4 out of 4 nationals, missed quite a bit of racing starting at winter, did one truck national. I think that was my first race back, so to speak, from having a couple of months off, and then went, absolutely mental in winter because I missed more stuff in summer. It were an eventful summer. Thankfully, I'm on the mend.
It was crazy, mate. I mean, I saw a picture of you towards the end of last year, and it looked like you'd lost 4 stone. I mean, I know, like, if I lost 4 stone, I saw a picture of you. You look so ill. I'm sorry. I know you better now, so it's easy to talk about and laugh and joke about it, but man, you look so poorly.
When I went to Robin Hood National, people saw me and they hadn't seen me because I missed Southport National as well. And when people saw me at that Robin Hood National, they were like, Matt, don't take this wrong way, but you look like shit. I feel like it as well. I'd lost a lot of weight. I'd gotten, even less colour than I normally have. And I didn't realise at the time when I was at that Robin Hood National that I was still, very poorly. And I did the national, and I think, to be honest, I'd not done anything for weeks. I'd been in hospital 2 weeks at that point, come out, and I was still super ill when I came out. And I just wanted to go. I wanted to do something. I hadn't seen my mates. I just wanted to go racing because I enjoy racing kind of thing. So I made every effort I could to get there. And well, it was worth it, as you know. Unbelievably, I made my first national A final when I was super ill, and I don't know if it's because I didn't feel any pressure because it was a bit of a monkey on my back. I'd BQ'd. I think, unbeknownst to a lot of people, I were well on for the record of most B finals without making a national A final, which Matt White proudly owns. I think it's 14 B finals and never made an A final. And I was at something like 10 at this point.
Yeah.
So I was well on for it. And no pressure. And I made it. That were a big relief, that actually making an A final at a national, it were cool that. And then next day I didn't finish last either. I finished 8th overall. And then next day, I BQ'd in 4-wheel. Mr. Yard had knocked me out of the A. I went in the A until the last round.
Back to reality.
BQ.
Yeah, you've done it now, mate. Well done.
Yeah. And literally, after the Robin Hood National, I went, the adrenaline disappeared kind of thing. I came down off the high. And within days, I were super ill again. And me being me, just thought, oh, I'll get better. It's just because I've done something at the weekend and I get it sort of a week and a half. And then I meant to go to Torch National, booked in. Clarkie were picking me up. And the day before Ryan went to be picking me up, I'd been vomiting for 12, 24 hours and couldn't even drink a sip of water without it coming out. And Clarkie actually came to my house and my Oggio was at the door, the cars, the tyre bag, the lot. And I just said, I'm not coming, mate. I'm dying. Yeah. And my missus, literally, as Clarkie went, she took me to A&E. And, they took one look at me. And they just took my vitals kind of thing, my obs. And they just put me straight in an ambulance, took me to Doncaster Hospital because I were in a severely deteriorated fashion kind of thing. So, I watched the Torch National then from my hospital bed. And saw Smithy with his first national, which were super cool. Gutted I weren't there. But yeah, after that, then I was in hospital for 2 to 3 weeks until they finally found out what was wrong with me and started treating me for it. And once I found out what was wrong with me and I were on the right medication, I got better in, it sounds daft, like, but days. I felt a lot better. And now, you know, I'm keeping it under control. I'm on medication for it. And yeah, I almost feel normal again. So we're well on way to recovery now.
Yeah, it's class, mate.
So thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks for that.
It was because you were pretty rough looking when I first saw you after it. You know, not, yeah. But it's good to see you back, mate. You are the one of the nicest guys in the pits, so we couldn't lost you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, mate, but considering you had most of the summer off, you're flipping mad up through over winter, aren't you? Yeah. You've been like every time there's a race meeting on, you're there. Berry, Worksop, EOS.
I know, I did Berry, Worksop, Junction 16, all full series. I only missed one Junction 16 due to EOS. I've missed a Worksop due to EOS because it was the same weekend, both of them. One were on Saturday, one on Sunday when we were in Germany. And I think I missed the first Berry because I weren't very well still. And then the second one, I were at a wedding. I didn't do them for various reasons. But since that, I've done all the series and did EOS.
Didn't I see a video of you watching the racing at someone's wedding? Is that?
It was the Florida Carpet Champs were on. And obviously with it being in Florida, you know, they were hours behind. And it was about, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And my missus took a picture of me. I was sat at the top table, actually, when everyone's dancing and that. And I was watching Toppy at Florida Carpet Champs. And her and the bride were like, I turned around and they're laughing at me. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, Toppy's on, you know.
They just don't get it, do they, either?
Like, you know, my missus, she's like, what's that, toy cars? I'm like, yeah, don't go there. It's cars. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell that was not like a friend's wedding from racing, because if it was, you'd have had 15 guys, including the group, crammed around that one little phone.
So it was Berry then?
Berry's been in good, mate. Berry has quickly become my favourite winter venue, if I'm honest. It's the first time I've done it. I've done the Cork meetings before, which are absolutely mega, if you haven't done them.
Yeah.
It's the carpet, you know, the carpet tracks, the massive. I always like a massive track. I don't know about, you know, it's got a huge straight, which is always fun because, you know, you can absolutely grill it up on straight and put, you know, all the horsepower in it. It's cool and it just RC cars going fast. So, you know, they don't put stupid layouts out. They're not obstacle courses. There's like enough like ratio of features to racetrack, so you can race. You know, like in a main, you can race, you can pull moves, and you know there's a straight into a hairpin where you can go up inside. You know, good layouts, and you know I think the tire rule there, certainly the one set of tires. Because the EOS carpet is so good and you know only used for this winter series, you can do it. You know, you can do quite easily do a day's racing on one set of tyres, which everyone likes that, don't they? You know, I know I'm a shoey driver and stuff, and I'll get stick for that, but I don't like spending all my money on tyres. You know, and doing one day on one set of tyres, I'm down for that. You know, Worktops like that. It's all right, that's pretty cool. That I think everyone enjoys it. But yeah, Berry's gone well. I think I've only done three rounds. I've got the last round on Sunday this week, so I've done my 40 count. You're there, Chris, aren't you? Yeah. I think I've had a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. So if I get somewhere mid-pack this Sunday, I think I'm going to finish about fifth or sixth overall, which I'll take that because I was talking to Mr. Phipps last time we did Berry. And Tom was saying, like, Junction 16, you know, which we did, there's more people can make the A final there. I mean, like, top 15, top 20, most of them can make the A, depending on if they've had a good round or not. Whereas Berry, there's probably less people can make the A, but the calibre of drivers at Berry is higher.
Yeah.
You know, it's the top 10 guys at Bury. You look there, you've got Craggett, both Halls, both Holdsworth, Skidmore, and you've got Phipps, Charlie Saunders. You know what I mean? It's stacked. It's hard work at Bury. Real hard work. You know, it's the bloody the competition level is. And then you've got the local guys that are rapid. You know, Stu Mahone, Everson, Andy Woods, all that. They're rapid in there. Absolutely yeah. rapid. So yeah, it's hard, Bury, but it is. I think it is my favourite indoor, you know, venue this winter. Absolutely love Bury. Yeah. Looking forward to the last round this Sunday.
I agree with you, mate. I think and the tyre thing as well. You know what I think is nice about only having that one set? It adds another little aspect of your racing. Like you could go and put a 4.5 turn motor in your car. You know, if you were, say, only just a little bit faster than your next person down and you just push that a little bit too hard, you cook your tyres.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got three rounds where they're going to out-qualify you and that's it. So it really doesn't just reward balls-out driving. It very much also rewards very smart drivers.
Yeah, and you have to, like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but Associated's another manufacturer, but, like, we all at car a bit with Shuey through day because we, you know, like Shuey's got loads of steering, but we lose a bit of steering through day kind of thing. So it's just making sure we don't lose it and stuff like that. You know, start off, like personally, I'll start off with a thicker diff and then I go down to a thinner diff after a couple of three rounds, depending on what kind of layout's like, you know. And just it's quite cool, the strategy through the day, like you've just said, to make sure the car's still quick and drivable.
Yeah. It does, and like you say, it is. I think I've found two winter series this year, which I've really, really enjoyed a lot. I'm not a big fan of carpet racing. You know, I'll openly admit that it's not my favourite type of racing. If it was dry and warm outside, believe me, I wouldn't be doing carpet racing. But I understand it has a place, and it keeps us going. And you know, these clubs put it on. But between Bury and Slough, I've almost become a little bit of a convert this year.
I'd love to go to Slough, Chris. It's just for me, from my house, it's over 3 hours to get there.
Yeah, it's so, about 2 hours yeah. 15 for us.
It's about 3.5 hours for us, but the problem is we're not going to be doing that on morning, you know, to get there. So it's an hotel night before. And then just costs start just going up, don't they? Especially when you do what I've done this year, raced 4 series kind of thing here.
Yeah.
You know, to do another one. It's having the weekends as well, just having the time and stuff like that. I'd love to go to Slough though, because the tracks look mega. The racing looks good. It look, and I know you've gone this year, haven't you?
Yeah. I've done all but one. Might have done all of them, but I'm pretty sure at worst I've done all but one. Really enjoyed it. You know, you've got some really high level competition there, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, you'll have on any given Saturday, you'll have Lee Martin, Phipps, Halls, you know, Ben Smith has been down to a fair few of them as well.
Yazir's racked in there as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Yazir, home track, he knows his way around there pretty well. So, yeah, you can get some proper good racing in it. You know, it's a struggle to get in the B at times. You know, obviously I'm not expecting to be in the A with the names we've just mentioned, but there's times I'd like to get in the B, and even then it's a struggle. Barry,
we're good other week, weren't it? When we're all cheering you on.
Oh, mate. I can't believe that. But we've already told people what happened. They know what happened. I came around the corner in second and literally, like, I'm driving around. But you know it was. I came up the right, up the ramp, turned the right. Mate, I had not fell off that thing at once all day. Like, I'd nailed it.
Because I don't know about you, Chris, but when I got on gas on that sometimes, it slid sideways cars. And I did that in quality. It just went sideways and dropped off. And I'm like, well, that's that run done.
It was the feature that I looked at and I was most worried about. Like when, you know, you do your track walk and you look at it from the rostrum, you're like, yeah, that's going to be a bit of a bugger, that is. And then, like, mate, not once, through practice, everything, it was awesome, the car was through there. And I came around, went up the face of it to go on it, and went, oh, I'm in second. Oh, I fell off the ramp. Literally all within the same breath. Like, it wasn't even like I paused. There was no hesitation. Ooh. And I'm there like, couldn't have been a worse place because the marshal's now got to run.
He's going to run round it, Anna. Yeah.
Yeah, and I dropped to like thingy. But I, to be fair, I enjoyed battling my way back up.
It was good watching that, mate. Good effort, C-final there, pal.
I was happy with the C-final. I was gutted I drive like a spaz just up that one ramp.
But no, it's good, you know. And just going on to other series, we've done this, like, you know, Junction 16. As people know, I struggle in there. With a bit of a joke between us, like, say, if you're over 30, you can't do Junction 16. It's too hard.
You don't have the reaction times anymore.
The reaction, the taking it all in. Honestly, driving Junction 60, I was laughing with Yardie about this. It feels like you hold your breath for 5 minutes and don't blink. And then when race is finished, like, you know, it's hard work. I just find it so hard. I love going because it's hard. You know, the competition's hard and stuff like that. But as a venue to race at, you know, I don't particularly have good results there. And I struggle massively at Junction 16. Yeah, bit of a bogey track for me indoors, that.
Like you say, I think I'm a bit of the same. I just sometimes wish there'd be a couple less features.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you can just have that little breather and race.
Yeah.
You know, instead of straight out of a hairpin, over some fans, into up face or a ramp, you know, and it through some them bobbles at the print car, you know, it's just one thing after another that to get it right for 5 minutes, man, it's so hard.
If you have a clean run there, you have literally, you've nailed everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. Yeah. It's super tough there. But, you know, and then, you know, other thing, that workshop, you know, I always do workshops. It's 2 minutes away, but it's just something different to carpet because,
yeah,
I'll be honest, I have got a bit fed up this winter with how much racing I've done. You know, it works up as a bit of a breath of fresh air. I mean, I ain't gone particularly well in there this year. I've had a nightmare, especially in four-wheel drive. Two wheels gone mint. You know, I think I've had 2 fourth places, a fifth, and that's last round to come kind of thing. I've missed a couple of rounds of that as well. But yeah, I'm just a bit, I don't know, I think I've just done a bit too much racing. But also, I think all of us that did EOS a few weeks ago, it's been like EOS for us last sort of, you know, like the last big meeting for us in, because I'm not doing MKGP. Because when the entry come out for that, I still weren't very well and racing wasn't on the card, so I didn't enter. But we're all kind of looking forward to outdoors. Nah, you know, after EOS.
Yeah.
I think the majority of guys you speak to now are, you know, testing as well. You know, they are outdoors. You know, a couple of people being up, you know, I saw Clarkie yesterday. He were up at Robin Hood yesterday. I nipped in just to see him, to get my blower back, actually. But I nipped in to see him. And that's his second time at Robin Hood in you know, a space the last few weeks. And he's done indoors now. He's not going back indoors. He's done. He's just outdoors. Getting ready for nationals.
I think it's getting to that point as well where I'm thinking, yeah, why are we still indoors? But at the minute, I can kind of still see it. Like today, it's absolutely smashing it down here in the middle. if you liked a cold shower for before you went to bed, just walk outside right now and the time, you know, when it really does it for me, when you're like, right, that's it now. It's when the clock changes.
Yeah, yeah, which is like when the clocks change, that's the Bradby Cup at Robin Hood that day. Are you doing it, Chris?
No, mate.
I had
to have a look at a few things. And so obviously with having the dog, when I go to nationals and we go away for these things, I have to get me mom to look after the dog because it's not otherwise. So I was looking at the things and she says, well, her and her mates wanted to go away on a holiday. So they look at booking a holiday. And they said, well, we've got this weekend or this weekend. And both of them had racing on, except one of them was on a national.
Oh, right.
So it was like, well, yeah, I won't do the Bradbury Cup. And so I kind of had to sacrifice it in order to thingy.
It's kindly known as the season opener now, isn't it? The Bradbury
Cup.
Yeah,
it is. And it's a great... And as you know, any event at Robin Hood, you know, James and those guys put on a fantastic event.
They've been working hard this winter as well. You know, I've popped up a few times, spoke to them. You know, there's some new features at the track ready for the National not long now until it's on. But yeah, they've been working hard this winter. The guys just making it, you know, next level again, you know, pushing the boundaries and stuff like they always do at Robin Hood. They've done it again for this year, but I'm sure you'll see it.
Updated the rostrum screens, haven't you? There's a projector. Yeah. In the barn there.
yeah, they've got a projector.
So, like, race timing's 30 foot tall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's colossal. But... I saw it yesterday when I popped up to see Clarkie, and first time I've seen it, and, you know, it's bloody massive, this projector. Where they had that screen before, it was like five times the size of that.
Yeah, I think who was I talking to? And they were saying is it 3 metres tall or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. And then there's the James's new vending machines.
Yes, his vending machines there. Yeah.
You know, you've got your vending machines. You can go and get your pop and your tyres in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And I think that's brilliant. I think any permanent club that's got a secure place, get vending machines in, because...
Well, I think my brother's company, he put the roller shutter doors on it. And since that, now he can put stuff in there. So say it's secure. So that's why he's got stuff in there now that's not going to get nicked. Yeah.
So it's like, it's really good, because if you want to go up there on a testing day, you ring James. If you haven't managed to get, if you think, oh, Christ, I've ran out of tyres, what do you do? Oh, I'll go to the vending machine. And I think, aren't they on about getting like card, so you can pay contactless linked to it as well? And
yeah, he was on about it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's basically turning into like, almost a bit like an American style thing, isn't it? Where you can go to the track and get everything you want for your racing in that place.
So yeah, that's but yeah, just I think I'm ready for outdoors. You know, Bury this weekend is my last indoor meeting. And then, you know, focus, to be honest, then. Car's going to get set up for Astro, and like I said, with me living close to Robin Hood, I'm going to go and batter Robin Hood before National. I am.
So if you don't make the A there again this year.
I shouldn't have said that, should I?
We're going to get you on the show by the very next Tuesday, and you're going to have to give us a comprehensive breakdown of why you didn't make
excuses,
the A.
Excuses? Why I didn't make it?
Yeah, a comprehensive list of excuses.
Comprehensive excuses why I didn't make the A, yeah. It's going to be tough Nationals this year, mate. I mean, like, I think it's right, this, but I think the full allocation of spots for the Robin Hood National was took up with F1s, 2s and 3s.
Unlikely.
I think it were. Or something like there were four spaces left after all F1s, 2s and 3s had booked in. It's going to be so competitive, Nationals this year. It's going to be hard. Which is good, you know. It's arguably the best championship in the world, I'd say, with depth of talent through field. It's going to be brilliant. I can't wait.
Well, that's it. I think it just shows how strong the hobby is in this country, especially if you know you're on Astro. I mean, dirt. We probably need. We just don't have the facilities to practice on dirt, do we? Or clay?
No, we don't, no.
So we're always going to struggle on that. But
it's like...
It's dirt as well. You need three tracks, don't you, really? Because people don't want to set the car up for just one dirt track. You know what I mean? They would have to have a separate car for it, really.
So it's like us in winter, because worktop. You need a separate car for worktop, because it's such a different setup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These cork floors are arguably the closest thing we've got to indoor, weird, low grippy tracks, aren't they? So,
yeah, but there's not many of them, Chris. No, you know,
two, Bury and Worksop. They all seem to be in the same, in a similar sort of, you know, range. Yeah, they all seem to be north.
Yeah, yeah. There's York as well, which is multi-surface. But you're right; they're all up north.
You know, it's and the thing is, it's a shame because it's a great thing to do. I mean, we've got a couple of clubs local to us that run on a sort of lower grip carpet, but even still, that's like, you know, still geared if and roll bars and carpet
set.
We are sort of trying to get it so that we sort of start running on, because it's primer felt on honeycombs.
Yeah, they do that at West Bridgeford, I think. Yeah,
so it's a little bit lower grip. You can have a bit of a, it's a bit loose, so it's not thingy, but whether it takes off, I don't know.
I've not been to that West Bridge. with doing everything I've done this winter, I can't make it. I ain't got any weekends left.
Your fuel budget's been well used.
What was your EOS like? What were your travel plans? Did you go and who did you travel over with?
EOS Russ was we drove there. No. Myself, Eugene, and Simon Smith.
Yeah,
we drove there. Ben was already there because he was in Switzerland the few days before testing.
So factory, that kid.
That's more factory than me, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Delivered by the team.
that's proper factory. Yeah. You know, he was testing. So me, Huge, and Simon, we drove there. We followed the halls. We went in convoy, us and the halls. It went, you know, I mean, this year, Jesus, I reckon there were another 20 drivers there that were top drivers compared to last year.
Yeah.
It were like an indoor Euros, basically. It were tough. You look to in the B and C final, even in two wheel, particularly, you know, like Bayer, Jan Neumann in C, Jamie Hall, myself, I think Yaz. And Phil Slay, we were all in D final, which, to be honest, were first final with normal people in. I'll take that. You know?
William White filmed the V final, didn't he? Because Ongaro and a load of other superstars were in it as well. But normally he ain't the A's, didn't he?
The B final, I think it were Ongaro, Ronafalk, Ben Smith.
Yeah. You know?
And Ben won it. You know, Ben won the B. He beat Ongaro and Ronafalk, you know, in the B. That was some result, that. In the B final, you've all these world champions and Euro champs and superstars, and it was just like an A final. The B final was just like an A final. It were unreal. That was so hard. EOS, good. You know, don't get me wrong, loved it. It were good, but it was just so hard. Long days, very, you know, like. I don't know. It's just you knew you'd got to have a good run when you'd waited 3 hours. You know, you don't want to set off after you've just been, your numbers being called, and then been it on lap one kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got to wait another 3 hours then before you get another go at it.
It was really funny. I don't know if I told the story on air, but I've told it to a few people off, like at the track. It was the day the B7 was released, wasn't it? So qualifying was on. And, I went to CML, picked it up, got home, put it on in the pit room / games room, you know, got YouTube on the big TV, opened the box up, started the build. And I started the build just as Jamie Hall went on for qualifying. And I finished the build, including electrics, turnbuckles, shocks, everything, just as Jamie Hall went on for his next run.
I can believe it.
So I could literally, I think genuinely, because obviously your electrics, you just transplant. If you were just going to transplant your electrics and your shocks and your turnbuckles over, I could have built you a new car for every run. It was absolutely mental.
Like in four-wheel drive, I made some big changes in four-wheel, pistons, diffs, steering racks. Like we were all in all sorts on the cat, rear shock towers, transmission risers. We did a lot of work on cat in four wheel, and I'm there working away. I'm like, God, am I going to be done for it? And I finish like there's an hour and a half left before I'm on.
Better do the shock as well then.
we're on heat 34, and I'm in 47. You know, like,
I've got to go for a nap.
I'll go and have a nap, have something to eat, you know, and I'll come back, yeah? And I were rushing like mad, thinking, God, I am not going to have time to do this. Like the car were down to a chassis with just like the motor mount and the diff cases kind of thing, the transmission housings front and rear. And I thought, well, I'm not going to get this done. I am not. And then, like I said, oh, there's an hour left before I'm on. So, I'd say to anybody, if you're going to do one event in the winter, like a big event, EOS at Dawn is the one to do. The accommodation, you know, if you don't want to, you haven't got to go off site. You can get everything on site. It's just a great event. It really is. We've done it twice now. Drove both times because, to be honest, we came back with Ben kind of thing. We picked him up and he came back with us. And four of you going back in car, it flies, to be honest.
It's a good laugh, isn't it?
And we can take everything.
Well, that's like the thing I was going to say. You drive, you take every single bit you need rather than, you bring a chopper, I'll bring the screwdrivers in. You bring a soldering iron, mate. I'll bring a power. You know, it's just like, just take
it. It's not what you think, I've got to pack my battery operated soldering iron. It's like, no.
Yeah.
The LRP is going.
It's all going.
The LRP is going. The battery, the plug-in Dremel's going, not the lightweight.
I said, well, like, we've just took Azogios. I would take them to a national. You know, they've got everything in.
Yeah.
Whereas Clarkie, Steve Pierce, gave me his lipos, his motors, his cars. All in this J Concepts big like rucksack he has. And then when you get to customs and they said, oh, it was so funny, we're at customs, they're like, has anybody given you anything to take through? do you know everything that's packed in you? Like after we got through, I said to you, I said, I ain't got a clue what Clark is putting in this bag. You know, like, has anybody given you anything to take through? And do you know what's in it? Everything in your luggage? I like, should have just said, yeah, Clark is giving me this bag. It's full of lipo batteries. You know, I ain't got a clue what else is in it because he's going on a plane and he can't take this stuff on a plane. Imagine if I'd have said that at customs.
Yeah, they took the whole car apart, mate.
Yeah. The thing is, how many motors did he need? Really?
He's like, he takes everything, doesn't he? I think he took four cars to EOS.
I mean, I couldn't. Why?
Because he's wild.
It's not like he does. The condition's going to change.
Because he deserves it.
You've seen his prep. He does 30 diffs, five sets of shocks. He took everything.
Enough tyres for a season. But why? I mean, surely it's not like you go into a national. You think, all right, I'll need the wet car, the dry car, and that up forward, like the wet four wheel, the wet two. Yeah, you go into race on carpet. You need like a car and maybe a spare chassis just in case you really have a good clatter.
No, he needed everything just in case. They decided when we got there they were racing on slippy floor. He took a car just in case for that. You know,
how did you find
there was a bit of the carpet that got.
How did you find the track surface at EOS and those jumps and that bit coming onto the straight looked mega tricky, like that jump and the steps and the chicane. What was that like
for a normal person? Yeah. Track surface were cool. It's just we were on cut staggers, which, as you know, you guys know, we've not run cut staggers this winter. We've
all done flips.
During the war. You know, we haven't run cut staggers on carpet for 12 months now, us guys at UK. It turns out the Europeans aren't really using this Fusion Slim. All their series are a cut stagger control tire on the front.
Yeah.
So
weren't letting you glue them down either, were they?
No, you're not allowed. You were allowed to. This is where it got a bit complicated. You were not allowed to alter the diameter of the tire, which means gluing them down. But what we were doing is we were filling the gutter, you know, like the sidewall.
Yeah, you poured the super glue in, didn't you?
Yeah, but then we found out if you put too much in, it just gave it understeer. It like made the sidewall too stiff and it had understeer. So you had to sort of half fill it with glue. And that was about the best. It gave it a bit more steering and then you went too much, you got understeer kind of thing. So we found out about half full inside and outside for me. That was like the sweet spot. So we had to, everything we've done for the Fusion Slim, it's like on the Schumacher, you know, like brass bulkhead, stiffened shocks up. Just, you know, killed the steering a bit to numb the front down with Fusion Slims on. We've had to switch it all back to like an alley bulkhead, you know, drop the front link down, more aggressive Ackerman plates and stuff like that to get some steering back on the cut stagger. But thankfully, because our guys have done a lot of testing, we walked straight into here's a setup, try that kind of thing. So that was pretty cool. The jumps there us were fantastic. Yeah. The I don't know how to say that, like, the up ramps are different to ours. The angle is, it doesn't kick the arse end of the car up in the air. So you've absolutely got to grill the gas, you know, to get it, to keep it level.
Yeah.
It just jumps so effortlessly. And then the down ramps are massive, absolutely massive down ramps, so that you can over jump slightly, you can under jump. And as long as you make that down ramp, wherever you land on it, it's such a shallow angle that you're all right. You know, you can, it's not like the up ramp kind of thing, you know, just mirrored. It's a proper down ramp.
Yeah.
I think it's because Scotty organises it, doesn't he? So they're very American.
Yeah, and that Race Stars Poland build the track. And I'm not kidding you, the track is, the presentation, it is as good in real life as it looks on the videos. Yeah. You know, all the infills are cut to perfection. The track repairs, I think there were, like, if I say a handful over the 4 days, that's it. And it was only because, like you said, that coming onto the straight, that jump coming onto the straight. Now, if you got that right, you could absolutely grill it on the down ramp of that jump and, like, thread the needle through the chicane coming onto the straight. But as you'll probably see, when some guys got that wrong, it were an airplane crash.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, full sides off cars, you know, and under the rostrum. That's one, you know, even the top guys that, you know, that literally they clipped that hose coming onto the straight, and because it was such a slight glance, the back wheel would just fly off and the car would just carry on, not even flinch the car.
Yeah.
But the wheel would just fly off up in the air, like an F1 crash kind of thing at Monaco, you know, and it just clips the barrier, wheel comes off.
Yeah.
It were like that. And there were some big accidents. And I mean, from top boys as well, like Ronner Falk taking corners off. Did you see Steve Pearce snap his car in half?
No.
Oh, God.
If Steve is listening, I'm not laughing, but man, sorry. No, but right. This is just ripping it off.
I'll send you the video. It's a short clip.
Yeah.
So you can put it out with this podcast of Pearce snapping his car in half.
Okay.
He comes off the jump at the end of the straight and lands in, like, the V where the timbers were.
Yeah.
And, you know, Noble Schumacher kind of thing, the front end comes off, and once the front end just spins round in a circle on one side of the track, and then the other half of the car is on the opposite side of the track. And Scotty says, man, you'll laugh when you hear it. But we were all actually watching, and you hear all us shout and laugh, and oh man, it was such a big accident.
Brilliant.
It were good. EOS were mega event. Really enjoyed it. I finished in D final two wheel. I think I finished sixth in the D, and four wheel. I was in the E final, one final down with four wheel. Yeah. I think I come seventh in the E. So all in all, yeah, I'm happy with results at EOS considering the competition.
Class.
Yeah, because it is. There's some big competition there as well, isn't there? It's not like.
Oh, yeah, like, it went down to, like, the MN final, something like that.
Running out of letters.
Yeah, and the thing what was very apparent, though, at EOS is we are better with two-wheel, the Brits, compared to four-wheel. I was speaking with Jürgen, and Jürgen was just saying, like, you know, when they do a club meeting, anything in the winter, they race both classes. They do both classes. Whenever they race, they don't do two wheel, you know, like a winter series like we do. They all do both classes. And he was saying, like, why don't you guys do it? He said, I've seen, you know, the racing in UK. Nobody ever does four wheel. I said, well, not many places cater for four wheel. You know, at Junction 16, Bury, there's one or two heats of four wheel because that's all the interest is to do four wheel. And workshops really only the place where you get, you know, five or six heats of four wheel. Apart from that, not many people are interested in running four wheel.
If you've got a good meeting, you could easily put 100 people on two wheel drive without a blink, couldn't you? If you've got a good venue, you know what I mean? 120 people, two. Like Barry could easily do them two four wheel drive heats in two as two wheel drive, couldn't they?
they're oversubscribed massively. Yeah. Barry, yeah. You know, they're their list of reserves, they're turning people away at every meeting. Like you said, them two weeks of four wheel could easily be two wheel. Yeah. And I just said to Jürgen, that just not the interest to run four wheel in the winter in UK. Everyone runs two wheel. And, you know, a lot of us came away from that like, and the foreigners are rapid at four wheel. You know, as soon as they hit the track, the European guys, they're absolutely rapid with four wheel. And it's very apparent that most of us Brits, we don't run four wheel on carpet. You can just see that we don't, you know. Instantly with a two wheel, we've got an idea on setup, but four wheel, you are relying on help with a four wheel. I don't know if that's just, you know, me, but certainly guys I were pitting with and that, you're relying on, you know, you guys such as Michael and Daniel that run four wheel all the time on carpet, you're relying on them for help really with setup. And so, yeah, see, you know, if I'm going to do EOS again, yeah, I think I'd do a bit of my homework with four wheel and do a bit of running in winter with it.
Yeah, it does. We did. I think it's just because it's easy. Like, it's so, I mean, the four wheel drives can be a pig on carpet, as we all know. But the two wheel drive, it's just so easy to go, you know what? I just fancy a nice easy. This is the way my brain works with it. If I want a nice, easy day's racing, and on the morning I've got to decide, and I'm like, you know what? I can't really be arsed for like messing around with us. I'm going to pick the two wheel drive bag up.
Yeah, and who wouldn't in the UK?
You know what I mean? You're literally just going to go, right, do I want a nice, simple day's racing where I haven't really got to do anything? I've got a pretty sorted setup. I can just do this. Or do I want to pick up the bag with the four-wheel drive in and get pissed off every round? I know, I want to be pissed. Who goes racing? I want to be pissed off every round. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you what was super fun, what I did last year when I was just starting back racing and I did that truck national, was the stadium truck. Like, I've never raced stadium truck ever. Even when I was a kid and I did RC, I have never raced a stadium truck. And I got one and I raced it at that Scotty event. And then I did the truck national the week after. I tell you what, them two meetings I did with stadium truck, what a laugh they are.
Oh, I had much, much fun and exercise marshalling your stadium truck.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Well,
that's
knackered.
The first time I drove in about a month, and that was got it.
But, absolutely, yeah. Broken, I was.
It was mega, the stadium truck class, man. I loved racing that. It sat in my shelf now, the stadium truck, as it came off from the A1 National. It's just sat there. I think I'll have to get that back out. I like that. It was good.
Yeah, we'll do it again at the Scotty National, at the Scotty event this year. But saying that, saying you never pick up, what I have really enjoyed is Telford did an outdoor series this year through the winter. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll run four-wheel drive at that. It makes it a nice, easy day then. And it was. The four-wheel drive had absolutely sorted out. So maybe that's the thing, you know. Maybe we've all just got to accept that life is going to be a bit harder to get better at four-wheel drive.
Well, I've had this discussion this week with a few of my mates. Like, you know, it is, you know, racing results and that, you know, on about like pushing to get better kind of thing. Sometimes you've got to step outside your comfort zone, aren't you? You know, to do things you wouldn't normally do, to try and get quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And that's what I mean. I don't like racing indoors, but to get faster, you've got to.
Got to do it.
You've got to do it. And I do feel it has improved me this year.
Yeah. 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 I think you've certainly improved this winter. Like that last Berry, making the C final. You know, I don't think you've met a C, have you, Chris, at Berry before?
The first one I did. And then I just started having a period where I think I was burnt out of racing. And I was just really, really struggling. And I just couldn't be bothered. I'd had enough.
Hey, mate, tell me about it. Like, since Christmas, I've been that busy with work that, unlike me, I've not done prep on my cars in a week. And then it's getting to Thursday, Friday, and I'm going racing on like the Saturday or the Sunday, and I've done nothing. No tyres glued, no car prep. And like, I've got to the point where, shall I just not go? Shall I just not go? Because I've got nothing ready. I don't like going racing when I'm not prepped. But I've, you know, dragged my ass, worked well, midnight kind of thing. And, you know, I've gone. But I have got a bit fed up this winter series. I have with, I think I've just done too much. But hopefully that'll flip now as we're going to outdoor season.
Yeah. I think for me, I'd got really bored of it. I was struggling. I'd started off the season all right, struggling. And I just, like you say, with work, a little bit burnt out, a little bit focused on other things. And I was at the point that week where I was just going to go, you know what, I'm going to take a couple of weeks off now. Just have a couple of weeks. I'll rebuild the shocks, not put any oil in them. I'll rebuild the diff. That's it. Car's done. Put them on the shelf. Go away for 2 weeks. And then on the Monday, they announced the V7. Like that it was going to be in stock in the UK on the Thursday, Friday kind of thing. And it was like, you know what it's like, new car snark feeling. Like your new car comes out. Like if Schumacher release a four-wheel drive tomorrow, every Schumacher driver is going to be testing, running that four-wheel drive will just go through the roof. Same with any car. And it was just like, right, on it. And I tell you what, I haven't stopped. I haven't looked back. Really enjoying it again. And it's just amazing what sometimes a bit of fresh challenge does. It's like,
yeah.
So maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe to enjoy racing more, we all need to go and get
a B7.
Well, yeah, a B7.
You deserve it, mate.
But you deserve it. We'll get you a factory one.
Yeah. factory team.
Yeah. Get you the factory team one.
Yeah, class. Speaking of the team, what's happened with your podcast, mate?
Oh, Russ. Like when we realised
how hard it is to find a guest every week. Is that what it is?
Well, we didn't even have a guest. We've realised how hard it is to get four of us together. Not even once a month. I mean, we set off and I think we did it once every couple of months for three or four. And then literally the summer season kicked off. And number one, all Owski races nearly every weekend. You know, and then he's travelling in the week. Oh, he's testing in the week and he's in foreign countries and he's different time zones. So Michael, you know, Tris is normally with him. So, you know, that's that. And then, you know, myself and Ryan have got real jobs instead of RC and kids and stuff like that. And through the, I mean, obviously I was ill. So they didn't want to do it without me for sort of three months-ish. And it's just been, we're trying to find a night when we can all record has been nigh on impossible.
Yeah.
It's not finished. It's just trying to, we were never going to do it once a month, once a week. There were no time schedule to it. We were just going to do it as and when kind of thing. Just do an episode as and when. But the problem is as and when's turned into, we haven't done an episode for about 4 months, 5 months now.
Yeah.
I think the last one we did was when Ryan first went to X-ray. That's the last one which we did, which was September. So yeah, you know, we're knocking on 5 months since we've done one. We need to do another one. We will do another one, just when we can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how you boys do it every week. I honestly do not know how you can find a bloody guest.
It's hard, mate. That's the hardest part.
The secret is,
yeah,
the secret is, mate, just do, like you say, if you're struggling because of the success of your co-hosts to to do one every week, just do it. I didn't get a really unsuccessful one.
GFY.
Me and Clarky, we'll be all right then. Yeah, just me and him doing it.
He did such a good job with Clarky that he moved to X-ray.
To be fair, you know, like you ask Clarky and all he's got to do is just stop building shocks and gluing tires and
rebuilding diffs. He'd talk about RC every day for 24/7 if you could. I speak to him every day about something RC, and I'm not the only person he speaks to. I think he rings everybody. he could do his own podcast, Clarky, I'm telling you, as well as LRP team manager and X-ray UK team manager. He could do it all.
Oh yeah, because he is the manager of more teams in the UK than anybody. Mate, he's managed more teams in the UK than Nuno.
Nuno.
if he was like a football manager, he'd be managing a first division team, a Premier League team, a second division team, everything.
But you know what it's like, because he was a professional sportsman, you can see whatever he throws himself into, it is 110%, isn't it? That's the thing. It's not half-assed. It's, right, if we're doing it, we're doing it right. Like, he's been at Robin Hood testing and that, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'll go when I've done Bury, because I am not swapping that car to Astro to switch it back for carpet for Bury. I will miss a couple of weeks and I'll go when I finish Bury. And he's like, no, no, he's switching cars back. And I'm like, no, not for me, that. Not, I mean, I spanner a lot, but he blows me out of water.
Yeah. There's times where I'm just like, it's not that I'm being lazy. Like this week, for example, like I thought, well, I rebuilt the cars last week. I could do it. I feel like doing something. What do? And it's like, all I've done this week is RC. Last week was RC. Like, I had a full weekend of it. Slough on Saturday, you know, and then the Silverstone warm-up race on the Sunday. I was just a little bit worn out from it. So not being lazy. I haven't done anything on the cars. I've just decorated a bedroom instead. It's like, I just needed to do something that wasn't like RC. I needed something to focus on.
I get it. Don't not worry. I get that. For once though, I'm ready. My cars are ready for Bury. I'm looking forward to it now. I am. But I get it, Chris. Something else to. I mean, I've just bought another motorbike, and that might be some of the reason why I've lost a bit of enthusiasm over the last few months, because I've got this new bike.
All you want to do is go and ride it.
I went out last weekend on it, and it were awesome. But then I raced RC at Worksop, and I love that as well. So, yeah, I have too many hobbies.
The question is, what's bigger? Which has got the bigger whips, your bike or your RC car?
There's no whip in this bike. It's an adventure bike. So if I'm whipping this, something's gone seriously wrong. and I'll be in A&E.
Again. Get your season pass back out.
What's an adventure bike?
An adventure bike, Russ, is, you know, easiest way.
Like Ewan McGregor did the long way around or something like that. Cool.
Yeah, like what you know, Paris-Dakar rally bikes, like them.
Nice.
Yeah, because I used to do race enduro. I'm a bit, my knees are knackered from that. And all my, we've all got older, you know. We're all 40 or nearly 40 now, so we've calmed down a little bit and still go off road, but a bit more touring and stuff like that.
Yeah, class, mate. Class.
It's more of a thing you can just chuck a bit of scran in a backpack and go bugger off with your mates over the mountains for
chuck
a day.
The tent on the back, Chris. Yeah, that's exactly what the plan is. But RC is still the main hobby. I've booked in for nationals. I'm fully committed. Yeah, I'm not quitting or packing in. Just need to refocus.
To be fair, the most sensible thing Russ ever said to me was, nobody really quits until they sell their transmitter.
Yeah. That's a very good point, that you never sell your transmitter. Yeah.
If your mate's having a break and you see the radio up for sale, that's it. They are done. They'll happily spend 30 quid on a tiny bit of aluminium bling or some washers or this or that. But no one wants to buy a transmitter. I don't know what it is. No. You know what I mean? No one wants to replace a transmitter.
No, you're 500 quid in these days, aren't you? Kind of thing for a transmitter, you know.
Well, that's the thing is, if you can get a stick transmitter.
I know, everyone's having to buy them for Tarbas, aren't they? Yeah. If you're a stick guy at the minute, because you can't get hold of the Sanwa.
Do you drive stick, Matt?
Yes, I'm stick, Russ. I can drive a wheel.
Yeah, so can I drive a wheel. Yeah, so can I, yeah.
Not nowhere near as good kind of thing.
Yep, same.
But I can drive, my little lad, he drives with a wheel, and I have a go with his car kind of thing, and I can get around a track. But I grew up on sticks. I still sticks. For me to relearn on a wheel, it's not worth it. You know, I don't know if I could do it. B, I don't think it's worth it for me. And yet, like, the foreigners were laughing because they were talking to some of the guys and that, all you Brits are all sticks. You know, they're very rare in Europe. And I'm like, oh, it's just when I was a kid, everyone had sticks. And the only people that had a wheel were the Yanks.
Yeah.
You know, you know, your Kinwall and everyone, they were the only guys that had wheels. Nobody in the UK had a wheel. So to see how many people drive a wheel these days is unreal.
Yeah, we're you know, the real men are a dying breed.
Mm-hmm. They are. They are. I think everybody in the EOS A final was on wheel, in two wheel.
Yeah.
Ongaro made it in four wheel and he's sticking it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But everybody in two wheel was on a wheel. I don't think there was anybody that made it on sticks.
Yeah, I remember that year.
Which is,
there'll never be another stick transmitter world champion on Garo. I was like, oh, my beer.
Oh, my beer.
Yeah. It was like, that's it now. Whenever anybody ever turns around to me and says, yeah, but wheels faster, who's the world champion?
Olowski said something interesting. I was talking to him after EOS, and he said he thought the stick guys struggled with that chicane through the middle, you know, EOS, where they had that fast chicane through the middle of the track. And he said it looks like the stick guys struggle through that because you have to be super precise. And he says, obviously, with a wheel, you've got four or five digits kind of thing, you know, to make that precise movement. Whereas a stick guy has just got his thumb, one digit. And I thought, that's a fair comment, that. I'll give you that. Because I could see what he mentioned, because it was so... That was so difficult, that. And like I say, you have to be very precise. So maybe, you know, a wheel can be a bit more precise, but I certainly ain't changing to a wheel.
No, the thing is, it is a medical fact. Your thumb is your fastest digit on your hand.
Is that right?
Yeah, your thumb is your fastest digit on your hand.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I think you can get them on the App Store, like a click counter, how many clicks you can do per minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do it with your thumb and then try and beat it with your finger.
You're right. So when I was playing track and field when I was 10, you're right. It's thumbs, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your thumbs are the fastest thing.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Learn something new every day.
This is now an educational podcast. You can put it. You can tag it.
I'll tag education and I'll post it. Oh, bro. You got anything for the Hall of Fame, Matt?
The Hall of Fame. Obviously, I've put a few things in recently. Yeah. I have got something after us. I'm building a kit at the minute for a customer build.
Yeah.
And I've just opened a brand new MIP 2 mil to build it. And I tell you what, I'm going to put the MIP 2 mil.
That's, you know what? That's a good choice.
The best tool ever.
Without that, how many screws would you strip? How many Allen wrenches would you go through? And I'm not kidding. You know, I build a few kits for myself and people in a year, and I generally go through one MIP driver a year.
Yeah.
And with me being a mechanic by trade and that, it's like your Snap-on, you know, your Mac, you know, that's like the... of this world, that is the equivalent for me. It's a good tool. Yeah, I'm putting the MIP 2 mil driver in.
I've got a good MIP story, which probably a lot of other people around the tracks have got a similar one. It's about a 1.5. I was at Midlands and Paul Abbott, Posh Paul, was standing there. It's really funny. He's not posh. But he's posh compared to me. So we called him Posh Paul. Anyway, he was standing over the drill at Midlands with a Dremel and a motor with a pinion on it, and he was just lining it up to cut a slot in the grub screw to cut a slot into the grub screw to get it off. I'm like, you tried an MIP in that? He's like, no, I've just tried a normal one. I said, give it to you. And I got my 1.5 MIP out of my toolbox, and I got this rounded grub screw out, and honestly, he just went straight out. And he's like, what the? I said, I'm telling you, mate, you need a set of these. Next time I saw him, he had a full set. you can't, there's no example like that you've tried it. You and all your mates, 1.5 drivers.
Beginner or pro, MIP are the best.
And I just
they
walked
are.
Up and he just went straight. He was pushed it in and it just came straight out. And he was absolutely blown away with it. Yeah. And so was everyone else that was standing around.
I got taught a good trick by Mick Cragg. You know, when you've got a screw that's already rounded, so somebody's like, anybody got a disc that I can't get this fucking screw out? They're ranting and raving. If your 2 mil MIP driver won't get it out, what's the green one that's similar to it? in size.
It's an Imperial, isn't it?
Is it like 564th or something like that?
I'm going to say
I think it is,
Keep one of them in your bag. I've got one here. Hold on. Oh, it's whatever a 0.78 is. Aramax have got that on. But get one of them. It's only just very fractionally bigger.
Mm.
And you just have to put it in, give it a little tap, click, straight out. And if anybody hasn't got one and you need to borrow MIP, somebody who loves giving them out because he's got everyone going, is Eugene Galley. Go and speak to Eugene about
He's got everyone and he's got a spare as well, Borden.
And not only has he got a spare one, he's got all the speed bits in Imperial as well.
And so if you need limited edition ones, everything. Turnbuckle MIP wrenches that he bought from the States. Ask him to have a look at his MIP tools. He's got a full tool bag full of MIP tools.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worth more than his cars.
Just go and speak to him. He'll happily lend them out to anybody.
Oh, anybody. I tell you what he likes sending out is good tyre cutters for people to chop body clips and wire with. He likes people doing that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He loved it the other week. He lent them to me because you know the pin that goes in the back of your hex. I hadn't got one, so I just chopped a body pin up, put that in. And he was like, don't worry, mate, they'll cut straight through it. Don't worry about the notch that they'll leave in the pliers. I'll buff them out.
If he saw you doing that with his good ones. he's got his customer ones that he lends out. Because he'll ask you what you want them for. And if you're cutting tyres, he might lend you his good ones. But if you're cutting anything other than tyres, you get the ones that are old. But if he catches you cutting anything other than tyres with his good one, I think he'd do time, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, with us having a new show sponsor, RC House, who is like a sticker guy, we've given Eugene Galley a supply of stickers. So if you want some RC House produced Grid Talk podcast stickers, Eugene Galley's got a stack, just ask him.
Oh, brilliant.
Go and ask him. He's got loads of them, mate. He'll pretend like he hasn't because we want him to be a little bit exclusive. If he really says no, keep pestering him. He'll give you the holographic ones like are on my body show.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we need to have a discussion about you copying my stickers.
Chris, do you know what? People have said to me, Matt, your stickers look mega. You know, them holographic ones. And I have been brutally honest when I said, look, I hate to admit this, but I copied Borden. I said, I saw Borden's at the end of season finals and I thought they looked mega at Dorrit Sun. And I got some done and then they've appeared everywhere since that, haven't they? You know, Puppy started doing them, RDT do them. And people say like, oh, Matt, you know, I wasn't the first. I have got to be truthful because I copied him. I said, it was Borden. Borden had him first and people don't believe me.
You had them identical.
I did. I've got the same colours as you.
Absolutely identical. And then Ben Stevenson turned up with them. Then Ben Smith turned up with them. Now Thomas Alfie Phipps Castle. Has turned up with them.
Yeah. Yes. Alfie Castle's got them.
Yeah, briefcase is doing them.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, you should all of you need to be lions, not sheep. Forge your own path.
Thing is, they go with my body show, with my colours, the pink and everything. They go super cool with my colours.
No, you nicked my body shell and started lining it up next to yours because they're similar colour.
But no, I will hold my hands up, Borden. You were the first one to have the holographic stickers and I copied you. I'm not too proud to say that. I copied your stickers.
I just think they're awesome. They are. I can't get the car around the track fast, but at least because you've got time to look at them, you can really see them in detail as you're going round. But yeah, so, you know, if you want stickers like mine, then you need to speak to Rich.
Ask Matt.
ask Matt. He's got exactly the same ones. If you're short of any Schumacher pink ones, speak to Matt. He's got the same ones, isn't he?
Bro. All right, Matt. Do you want to thank your sponsors, mate? And we'll look at knocking this on the head. We've been going comfortable hour.
I'd like to thank Schumacher Racing, LRP, Model Sport, Paintworks, Screws for RC, and All Our Skate Racing Lime.
Nice, mate. Perfect. That's it, mate. You've been absolutely fantastic. Now, remember, if anytime you want to come on, being a podcast legend, if you've got something to say or you fancy coming on, just give us a shout and we'll get you on.
No worries, guys. Right. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, buddy. You have to hang up at your end, all right?
All right. See you later, Max. Have a good one.
And he's gone. What an effortless chat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, brilliant.
I mean, you could just spend hours chatting to Matt. He's, you know, nice and easy to chat to. So, yeah.
Like we did after we'd finished recording, because he's now coming on to like nearly 11 o'clock. So,
yeah.
Class. Cool. So, let's talk about Slow.
What would you particularly like to talk about, Slayer, and what would you like to not talk about with Slayer?
Well, first of all, Chris, I'd like to congratulate you for finally beating me after like 10 years of trying on carpet. So,
it wasn't 10 years. Remember, there was that one at Cardiff where I beat you.
When you smashed me up the track, that one.
Then I was going to say, you spent about 4 months moaning that I didn't smash you off the track. I just put a good stern move on you, 50, and you 50. Just didn't like
I tell you what, Chris, joking aside, I wish I could have got close enough to try and smash you off the track at the weekend. Mate, I've got no answer for it. I'm not saying, let's face it, on carpet we're normally around the same pace. I know on Astro you've always got the edge on
to
me.
To be fair, I'd say on carpet you're normally, when anybody's asked me about it this week and what happened, I've honestly said you are normally a couple of tenths a lap faster than me on carpet on your average lap time.
Cheers.
I think it's probably about 3 to 4 tenths on your peak lap time versus my peak.
Yeah.
But as an average, I'd probably say you're about 2 tenths a lap faster.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, mate, I had no answer for your B7 this weekend. Nothing.
It felt so... not beating you, I mean, that. Don't get me wrong, that felt epic. And then being able to be smug about it for a really long drive home felt even better.
But the cars were yes, your car was different to mine because you've got the new one, but we're both at the same tyres because it's restricted tyres. So there was your tyres were better than mine because we both had new ones and we did the same amount of runs. But but the way the B7 carries corner speed, especially on the faster stuff, you know, it was immense.
Yeah, the car felt amazing all day. I mean, from day one, from like lap one in practice, it felt really, really good. And then I think, was I car 5 and you were 6, or you were 7 and I was 6?
You were off ahead of me, whatever positions we were.
So I was kind of expecting, it's carpet racing. You know, I normally know you're a bit quicker. I kind of expected you to sort of hang with me. And then at some point, I'd probably need to just drift wide and let you through.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, they were making a bit of a big deal about the fact we were in the same heat. I suspect Sam and Yas did that.
On
purpose. And they were like, who's gonna beat who, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, I'm kind of not really watching the rest of the race. I'm just driving my car, just enjoying it. It feels really, really good, you know. Whatever else is happening, it's happening. All I can do is concentrate on me. I'm doing it. And then I'm in the race lead. And Sam's like, and in a minute, Russ, there's somebody coming up behind you and you're probably not going to like it. And I was like, who's that? Oh, shit, it's me. I genuinely just didn't expect to be, and I didn't expect to have pulled away from you, if I'm honest, let alone.
It was weird because we both had bumps in the first couple of runs, didn't we? You sorted yourself out for round 3 and 4. But every time I came back, like we were both within the same bit of track, you just literally streamed away again. And I'm like, what the flip's going on here?
The car just felt amazing. Yeah. Obviously, I know you're running the old car.
Old car, 6.3.
Yeah, 6.3. But the 6.3 wasn't a bad car on carpet.
No.
But that B7 just felt... It just felt like drive it super fast, super consistent, super accurately. I think the run that I had my best time in, my only mistake was like just clipping a pipe. You know, like when it catches a pipe and it just spins you right the way around.
Yeah.
So you only lose like half a second, or a second, and that was it, really. I felt like I let the car down, to be honest. Especially in the final. I mean, I scraped the back of the A in ninth place out of 10. And in a couple of the runs, I was running in like fifth. And then I kind of just had a bit of a spaz moment, as I do, and threw it away. But no, I was super happy with it. The car was awesome. But I do think this was the first time that you've said to me that you hadn't yet got to the point where you felt that the people who were racing around you and the 6.3 was a current car had pulled away from you.
Well, yeah, I've said that, and like all the way through the 6.4, I know I'm talking about my club level with it, with people with the 6.4. I never felt like there was anyone out there who is getting an advantage with the new car. You know what I mean? I always felt like I was still holding my own, and I was still beating the people who I was supposed to beat, if that computes properly. You know what I'm saying?
You were competing at the right level.
Yeah, but I'm really seeing now the difference in the with the 7, with how much faster people are than me. So I think I need one at some point.
It's just a weapon of a car, mate. Yeah. Like, so fast, so easy to drive.
Mate, the way I keep saying it, the way it carries speed into corners and the way it can accelerate probably 4 feet earlier than my car on a sweeper. That one bend at Slough, when there was a big jump where you landed, and then there was a sweeping like kidney shaped left, and I was really having to hold my car before I could get onto the power, and you were literally landing and just gassing it right the way around this bend, and I couldn't do that at all. You know, the how early you could get on the power of that car was mind blowing. You know.
It's mind-blowing when you're driving it. Like, obviously, they've been out now for a while. A lot of people have got them. But when I first started driving it over the old 6.4, that was what blew my mind. Because you're driving it with kind of how you would naturally drive the 6.4 when you first got it. But then, and I think this is, you know, when we went to Cardiff, I think this is what was kind of happening. I was still driving it a bit like a 6.4.
Yeah.
So I was accelerating at the same point that I'd have to with a 6.4 to get it to turn in or do whatever I wanted it to do. And with this car, you're having to override your brain's natural instinct to brake at this point or to accelerate not as early, to accelerate later so it doesn't wash out. Whereas this car's defying the logic that you've trained your brain over the last 2 years to have. And you're like, no, you can accelerate now. And like you say, it's 3 or 4 foot earlier.
Yeah.
And you just bend the stick over to whichever, you know, left or right. And it just sort of goes and carries on.
Yeah. Mad. You had a bit of rough and tumble in your finals, didn't you? But I had some absolute class races in mine. I really, really enjoyed my finals, all three of them. You know, one thing I like about a race meeting like that, when you got three finals and three races, you know, and you can pull a move on someone and they can have a go back, and you know, it's like all of a sudden it's different. You know, it's so different to qualifying, isn't it? You know, being under someone's rear wing for 3 laps, 4 laps, 5 laps. You know,
awesome.
No, yeah, it was really good. I had some class races. I know you finished towards the back in your final, but there's some quick people in the A, weren't there?
I ended up 10th in the A.
Yeah.
I had a couple of shadows.
Yeah, I qualified 5th and finished 5th after 3 races. I had a 3rd, a 4th and a 6th. And that 6th was because I was challenging for the lead, I think. Or was I challenging for 2nd? I can't remember. But yeah, it was class. I really, really enjoyed it. And the carpet, my God, talk about traction. And like I say, that carpet's that new that I'm going to use them tyres again as my new tyres this weekend at Cardiff. So
but we can't, Cardiff, great club, but the carpet's a bit older there, so they'll be knackered after two runs.
Yeah.
You'll need some fresh.
We always start the day on worn ones anyway, so it'll be quite cool. Yeah. It'll be quite cool.
But I really enjoyed it, mate. We need to get you up to one of the Bury ones out here.
Yeah, I've raced at Bury before when Bruce was quite young. It's an absolutely brilliant track.
We need to get you up there next year. Obviously, it might be a bit late to get you in for this weekend. But no, it's another great club, and you know, I really enjoyed the track this week at Slough. I was a bit dubious of the big ski ramp at first. But then, it kind of worked with the way that the little hop jump was just before it.
Yeah, no, it was really good. Really good. It was quite funny how far it was as well. That jump, everyone was like, oh, Sam, that's a big jump in the middle. Everyone got it in the end, though.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And I quite liked the little jump in front of the rostrum where you could kind of just almost just cut a little bit of the chicane.
Yeah.
Like you could, the angle was just right. So you could fly like two wheels in the track and two wheels out, which my opinion, that's in.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, if you've got two wheels inside the white line, you're in. You're safe.
You got to go for the long jump, mate. You've always got to go.
Yeah.
If there's an opportunity to jump a bit of track, then you need to jump it.
Well, I tried in one of the runs, but I kind of ended up just sort of happy slapping your front shock tower. I was like, I just saw your car just in front, and I knew you were a little bit slower out of that corner. And I was like, if I send it here and jump over him to overtake him, think of what the discussion will be on the podcast.
Yeah,
I was just searching for podcast moments, mate. That's all it was.
Yeah, that is cool. You know what? It was great to meet a lot of listeners down there as well. And like I say, bumping into Freddie and Darren Bloomfield was there as well. You know, there was a load of people down there who I hadn't seen all year, pretty much. You know, so
I'd never met Darren. I'd never actually met Darren. You know, spoke to him on like the AE group chat and whatever, but I'd never actually met him. But you know, super nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy, man. Really, really cool. Really cool. We've interviewed him on here as well, haven't we? I think.
No, you had him on the week that I couldn't attend because I was somewhere.
Yeah, I can't remember who I had on with him.
No, I've never had Darren on.
Yeah, no sound. Absolutely sound. I'm trying to think who else was there. Oh, JJ Lutter was there. He's quite cool as well. I know he's a long time listener and big time sharer. So
you met Neil, who you've heard be spoke about by many people, but you'd never put a nat face to his name, Rounder.
You know what, Neil Rounds, so funny, the fact that I'm like, where are you from? And he's like, London. I'm like, no, where's your accent from? You ain't from London. No, Dudley. And then it turns out that I'd been racing with him at Dudley in the 90s for like 4 years. And he's like, who do you know? And I'm like, well, Simon Willis, I know him. I'm like, Potter, I know him. I'm like, Adam Bree, Easley, Mansell. He's like, oh, I know all of them. I'm like, it's just mad that we hadn't really twigged each other from years ago. Yeah, it's quite funny. And then he started helping himself to all my tools. I'm like, you all right, mate? Yeah, what are you after? After some pliers? Oh, okay. Yeah, and then it was quite funny that Neil was literally everyone's tall boxes was Neil. And I said, what have you brought with you? He's like, I bought my charger, two batteries, and my car and my radio. And I'm like, are you joking? And he's like, and that's all literally all he'd taken with him. Everything else he was just borrowing. So, it's quite funny.
So the question is, I know we've discussed it, but there is one more round of this, and it is on a Saturday, and it doesn't clash. I know you might have a Nitro meeting on the Sunday, but this is not the Sunday. This is the Saturday. So what do you reckon we pop down for the next one?
I'm going to have to – you know what, mate? March is such an expensive month for me.
16th of March, week after – MKGP.
Exactly. MKG, I feel like I'm going on. Sorry, listeners, but I'm a real person with like a normal job and I have to look at these things.
It's not a normal job, really.
A normal wage. It's MKGP on the Friday, Saturday. Then it's Nitrocross on the Sunday. and then it's a week off, and then it's a Ledbury clubby, and then it's 3 days at Easter for Brookthorpe. But I suppose that does tip into the next payday.
But you know, the other thing, what that sounds like to me, that just sounds like more time to have fun with toy cars, and you can then, you know what else it seems like to me? More time for you to practice and see if you can take your little trophy back.
All right, let's talk. We'll talk about it off air. We'll talk about it off air. We'll see.
So, in other words, we'll book you in for Slough.
Maybe. We'll have a look. We'll see.
To be fair, mate, I won't make the next one because you'll have all the big hitters back. I won't make the next day final. All the big hitters will be back.
You'll have to beat you fair and square on that one.
You'll have to be in the C and I'll be in the B.
Yeah, right. I'll have a look. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk about it off here. I'd like to go, I think I'd like to go. We'll see.
Yeah. It's always good fun, mate. Always good fun.
Where are you this weekend? You at Bury?
Yes, I'm at Bury.
Get him out of
the B was your aim
last time, wasn't it?
It'll be my aim, but the thing is with Bury, my aim is the B, but I'm never disappointed if I'm in the C because there are some really quick guys there. It is what it is. I'll give it my best.
Drive as fast as you can and don't crash, yeah?
Yeah. Just send it.
Yeah, cool. And we're at Cardiff for the last round of the championship there. I'm currently in fifth place in the top associated. Woo! And Bruce, I think, hasn't done enough rounds to count yet because of his broken wrist. So I think him and James Harris are quite close on points, but Bruce is quite far down the championship at the minute until he's done this final round, and then he'll have enough to count. So yeah, be quite close. It's going to be a good one. And pick my mate Breeze up Sunday morning and have a gentle ride down. Well, probably not a gentle ride down. We'll probably be hitting the speed limits on the M50. But yeah, be good.
Looking forward to it. It'll be good.
All right. Can you tell we're both really tired here? And it's just. So do you want to say?
It's midnight. Well, it's 11 o'clock. Yeah.
Do you want to thank the sponsors about it? And we'll knock it on the head. And I'll try and edit this into some sort of resemblance of a good podcast.
I know. So a massive thank you to CML Distribution, to RC House, to Schumacher Racing, and to Will Speed. And we didn't mention, Russ, that all the prizes have now gone off to their.
They have, yeah. There was a couple of stragglers who hadn't claimed, but luckily they were in my message chain, so I've messaged them for their address. So yeah, if you claimed a prize, it's winging its way to you over the next couple of weeks. That's it. You did a much better job at thanking the sponsors than I did at the start of the podcast when I forgot who the third and fourth ones were. So well done. And that's it, listeners. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with a prize at Christmas. We will see you next week for a bit of an MKGP warm-up podcast. We'll find someone who's racing there, maybe. I don't know. We'll think of something. So that's it. Christopher, you've been fantastic. Good luck at the weekend, mate, and I will see you on the internet very, very soon.
You too, mate. See you soon.
See you. Ciao.